Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
From KCUR, this is Up To Date. I'm producer Claudia Brancart. More than half of Americans drink coffee every day. But how much do most of us really know about coffee? Sure, we know our regular order at Starbucks. But what about how coffee is grown, harvested, and processed? Erica Cecilia Noguera is the owner of Doña Fina Cafe, a Kansas City coffee company that roasts and sells beans grown on her family farm in Guatemala. Guest host Brian Ellison speaks with Erica about her approach to coffee making and how she's keeping a century-old family tradition alive. But first, I headed to Blip Coffee Roasters in Kansas City's West Bottoms to see how Erica roasts Doña Fina beans.
I'm Erica Cecilia Noguera. We're here in the back section of Blip Roasters in front of our beloved roasting machine. I'm roasting Doña Fina Cafe from our family farm. And here I am in the process of roasting a medium roast.
Okay, so this might sound kind of silly, but what's the difference between medium, light, dark? Is it the amount of time you're roasting, or what's the process?
Yeah, it's just time in the roaster. This is a manual roaster. There are like more fancy machines that use temperature gauges, and like you can set parameters and the roaster will run on its own. I do it by time and sense and smell and sight. I'll pull beans out and I can see, I can smell them, I can see the color, I can see how they're developing.
What are you smelling for, I suppose, when you're like, okay, that's at the right point now?
You can kind of start to, it starts to smell like coffee, the coffee you're used to. It starts to get that really like juicy, beautiful, caramely coffee smell, which is what I'm going for.
Erica, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So we were hearing you there at the roastery, but let's actually go back to the family farm in Guatemala. Tell us about this. How long has that been part of your family?
Yeah, the farm has been part of our family for over 100 and about 20 years.
Wow.
The last people in my family to harvest, roast, and sell the coffee beans at market are my great-grandparents.
Wow.
My dad grew up working in the farm when he wasn't in school. But he did that, you know, traditional thing, went off to college and then met my mom and moved here to the States, had a full career here as an engineer. But it's always been a dream of mine. We spent summers and Christmas breaks in Guatemala. I've always loved coffee shops and been a big, still am, a big fan of local coffee shops. And so when he retired is when we really started talking about how can we start investing more in the farm? How can we kind of bring back that tradition we've had? Coffee was sort of devalued or undervalued for so long. We just started selling the harvest to whoever would buy it in Guatemala. And in the last about 5 to 6 years have really invested in caring for the trees and caring for the farm. And now it's, yeah.
So the farm's been producing coffee all of that time.
Yes.
Just it was not always going to sort of this the smaller handcrafted use that you're putting it to.
Right, exactly.
So the story has become a story of what you're doing with that coffee here in Kansas City. Tell us about Doña Fina Cafe.
Yeah, so we do 3 picks every year. We have 12,000 trees and you only pick the red bean.
Okay.
And leave the yellowed and green on the tree.
So when's the first harvest each year?
Well, it's changing because of global warming.
That's
it used to be late November, early December. Now it's January, sometimes end of December, but really it's my dad watching. Like, I'm not sure. I think it's going to be in a week, you know. You're just watching the fruits develop on the tree and seeing when they're ready and when the right amount of them are ready that it makes sense to send people out and begin picking.
So, you know, it's when we think of a lot of crops and a lot of fields, you go out and you pick it all at once, but that's not how it works with coffee.
That's not how it works. And so a big motivation of mine has always been to just really tell the story of coffee and how labor intensive it is and how much care it takes and how much time and how we really shouldn't scoff at having to pay a little more per cup and really pay attention to where we're buying our beans from so that we can make sure that the people at the source are being valued, mm-hmm. And also that the plant at the source is being valued and that it's being cared for.
So these plants are in Guatemala. Coffee's grown in a lot of different parts of the world and even different parts of Latin America. What's distinctive about Guatemalan coffee?
I say it's a really friendly coffee, ours especially, because it's grown and harvested and cared for every step of the way with so much love. But African coffees tend to be more acidic and have that, and some people love that, and they're great for mixed beverages. Guatemalan coffee is smooth. You know, it's not, at the higher elevations, there is more acidity, but even those coffees are friendly coffees. It's a really smooth, full-bodied
kind of coffee you'd want to make a cup of and just drink the
coffee. Yeah, a lot of people try our coffee and they're like, wow, I didn't know it could taste so good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that bite to it.
Tell me about yours specifically. Well, first of all, the name, Doña Fina, where does that name come from?
Yeah, that's my great grandma. Her name was Delfina, and people called her Fina. Doña is an honorific, like lady or ma'am. Mm-hmm. And so Doña Fina is what I called her, Mama Fina, but Doña Fina is how she was known.
Well, and that speaks to what it sounds like is really important to you about the coffee. This is a family farm, a family operation, really, right?
Yes, absolutely. It always has been, and it's been fun to kind of work with my dad. We're still figuring out how to make it all work, but it's a real labor of love and a real pleasure and privilege.
We'll be right back with more from the owner of Doña Fina Cafe in just a minute.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Stowers Institute.
I think you mentioned your dad kind of retiring at some point. What does that mean for the future of this operation?
Well, that is a major question. Uh-huh. You know, he's not going to be able to do it forever. And we live here. I just spent January in Guatemala with him at the end of harvest, quote unquote, helping. I don't think with some friends, actually some friends from
Now, why quote unquote?
Well, some local friends came with Jacob Chapman, who's a soil scientist and mushroom farmer, and Dana and Ian from Blip Roasters came along, and our friend Angie came along with the idea to help on the farm. But it took, in 2 days of picking, the five of us picked the equivalent of what one person would pick in one day. So it's hard work. It's hard work. It takes some skill.
Was coffee the career you thought you would have at this point in your life, Erica?
No. I did, in college, study ethnobotany. I was an anthropology, biological anthropology major. And that's sort of when the dreams started. You know, I think the dream continues to be the same around how can we cultivate community around the farm and the ecosystem around the farm and really care for the earth and care for the people in the process has always been a motivation of mine. Becoming a roaster was not in the, I didn't know mm-hmm. that I would love that part of it. I didn't have any concept of what craft it takes and that it would be my happy place.
Well, help us understand that craft a little bit. I think, I mean, we know the beans come from Guatemala. Mm-hmm. You don't just dump them in a roaster and wait till they're done, right?
Right. I think, you know, you can have, there are commercial roasters that are automated. And I mean, even they set the profiles and that takes some skill and some knowledge. But ours at Blip is a manual roaster. And so, yeah, it's really about sense and listening. I say it's kind of like baking where there's four ingredients basically that go into thousands of different iterations of what you can make with flour, water, oil, and
sugar,
heat, butter, eggs, sugar, yeah, whatever, yeah, yeah. You know. And so with roasting, it's the same. It's time, heat, and airflow. Mm. But you can make so many decisions from like when, at what temperature do you put the beans in, what rate do you raise the heat? And it's really about listening to what the beans need. And it has to do with how much moisture is in the beans, how big are the beans, what the weather is like outside, how humid it is. So it's really kind of an intuitive process, and it's really a pleasurable process.
Yeah.
It means lots of tasting coffee, which isn't a bad thing either.
And so you're doing this at the in the back of Blip Roasters.
Yes.
In the West Bottoms. Mm-hmm. Once you've got these roasted, where are the beans going?
I do some pop-ups. I have some local relationships with wholesalers, but mostly online. People find us online. I did have the great fortune of having a short PBS special that was produced by Outpost Worldwide. It is unique what we're doing. I don't mm-hmm. know anyone else who's doing it farm to cup.
How much coffee are you producing every year, would you say?
We have 12,000. Actually, my dad added 800 trees this year. So next year we'll have 12,800 trees. And depending on each last year's harvest was about 40% short of the year before. But if it, on a really good year, we'll bring over about 3,000 pounds.
Wow.
But not all of the coffee makes the cut. We have several processes of sorting. After the beans are picked, they get washed and the floaters get set aside and sold as seconds. But the cream of the crop, the best beans that make it to our cup of coffee, we bring about 3,000 pounds a year.
And if someone in Kansas City, online you mentioned, is one place to buy it, is it selling in stores or coffee shops as well?
There's Origin Restaurant in Lecompton, Kansas, serves ours exclusively. Drum Family Farm Market is selling our beans at Casey Farm School. It's part of the CSA, and they'll have it at their market. So I always say my community in Kansas City has been the farming community. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been the coffee community, truly. And Third Place Lounge also sells our beans.
Would you ever want to run a coffee shop yourself, Erica?
I do. That's the goal. That's always been the long-range vision. The more I get into it, I'm also a mom and have a lot going on. So I'm grateful that I don't have that right now. It's a lot to own a small business and do all the things. So I really respect local coffee shops for what they're doing, and I frequent many of them. But someday, that's the next phase of growth for us.
We'll be watching and come back and let us know how it's going.
That was our guest host, Brian Ellison, speaking with Erica Cecilia Noguera of Kansas City's Doña Fina Cafe. Up to Date is a production of KCUR, and this podcast was produced by me, Claudia Brancart. Thanks so much for listening.